With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tack, 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 tack. Tack, 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 tack. Tack, 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 tack. Tack, 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 tack.
Water? Anyone?
Yes, please.
Yeah, please.
Thank you so much.
Jag är hård för fan, jag är bengaler, jag är radio Råsunda. Jag är Sveriges vackraste emblem, jag är Kenny Baby Spike mellan en djurgårdares ben. Jag är Bojan Djordjic attityd, jag är en bira i pausen, jag är en massarin. Jag är Celso Borges i dödens grupp, jag är som broan Nori när han rökte sutt. Jag är blåa linjen, jag är pendeltåg, jag är en chip mot Barcelona från Neshimor. Jag är Viktor Lundbergs högerfot, Björn Westrums övertro, jag är hybris. Jag är Alms djupligt spel i anfallen. Jag är Eromarkane. Jag som en fullstreamad borta match som 2-1 ifrån Kärnströmmen måste match. Jag är Robin Quaison mot.
Hej och välkomna till episod 154 utav podcasten vi kallar för Radio Råsunda. Och det är det första avsnittet för år 2018. Hej Rasmus, läget? Tjaba.
Jo, men det är skitbra. Jag är så jävla taggad på att komma igång nu, så att det här ska bli svinkul, verkligen.
Gud, jag också. Det är bara så här, man går ut och halkar runt och det är snö och det är kallt och man bara, gud, nu börjar försäsongen. Mm. Var du och såg Frej borta?
Nej, jag låg, det låter ju för jävligt, men jag låg i sviten av en svensk sexa och kramade en hink, så att jag såg på tv.
Ja, just det. Jag vet vilken svensk sexa. Jag bara, hoppas ni hade kul.
Ja, det är kul. Absolut.
Härligt. Jag var tyvärr inte heller på den matchen. Men jag ser fram emot hemmamatchen på Skytteholm nu på lördag.
Mm. Inter-Åbo. Klassiskt, yes. Försäsongsgäng.
Yes, det är så här, ja, men det är vi och finnarna som klarar av att spela när det är minus en babiljard, känns det som.
Mm.
Ska du dit?
Jag ska dit.
Och det är klockan 13.00.
13.00 på Skytten.
Ja, precis. Och kom ihåg det. Mark your calendars. På lördag spelar vi på Skytteholm. Och det är mig veterligen också den enda
ja, precis,
hemmamatchen
som man passar på.
Precis, det är klart att alla vill stå och frysa tårna av sig på Skytteholm. Men nog om det. Mm. Vi har en väldigt sleber gäst här.
Ja, väldigt
idag.
Stort. Vi går ut hårt direkt.
Ja, precis.
You look confused.
And this is where we switch to English and say hi, Kenny.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, aside from the cold, but you guys are going to Dubai soon, right?
We are.
But you're used to the cold Canada and Tromsø.
Yeah, cold's good too.
Yeah.
It's good too.
Yeah. When do you guys leave?
Monday coming up.
Okay, yeah. So less than a week.
Less than a week.
Oh, I want to go too.
Are you jealous?
Like, yeah, I'm super jealous. Like, it's so cold and I hate the cold, so.
I promise you it's not fun to kick a ball in it either. I promise you that.
How warm is it over there right now?
In Dubai?
Yeah.
29?
You had me at 20.
It's like, yeah, everything over 30 is just bad, but 29 is still acceptable.
It's comfortable. It's very comfortable. It's between 20, I'd say 22 to 20 to 30, we'll just say.
Is it like the second year, third year to Dubai?
This is the fourth.
Fourth?
Oh.
Fourth.
Jesus.
It's that good. Yeah. No, the facilities are unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, because Joachim Hall goes down there to photograph you guys every year, and I like whenever I see his pictures, I'm just like, oh yeah, I can totally understand. It's like, it's perfect. Like, don't you guys have like the facilities are below the ground and they lift up the grass so that you can walk out?
Yeah, one of the pitches, it's something like that. It's
super futuristic.
All the change rooms, everything's underground, and yeah, it is crazy. The facilities are unbelievable. The hotel, it's the perfect place for preseason, definitely.
And yeah, exactly, preseason. So we started up with the first training, as always, with fireworks and pyro. Were you there?
I was there. I think this was probably the best one of all years I've been here. The fireworks was a good display. Nice turnout, cold, but it was...
It was like beautiful with all the snow and...
Yeah, it was very nice.
In contrast to
exactly.
the fireworks.
Yeah, the colors were amazing.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was good turnout.
Yeah.
Nice turnout.
Yeah.
And this is also the first year for you that you are... in another role than previously.
I'm in a very mature role right now.
Why don't you tell us and our listeners what your role is exactly?
I've become the goalkeeper coach / player, but I will be emphasizing more on the goalkeeper coach, definitely.
And congratulations, obviously, because I think those are in order. I think it's a really good idea to, like, because you've been, like, the unofficial goalkeeper coach before, right? Like, that's what I've read and I've heard, that you've been like a mentor to the younger.
I guess so. When you're this old, I guess so. No, but yeah, it's nice to be officially goalkeeper coach. It's a role that I feel comfortable in. It's something that it feels very natural for me. So it's nice to get this role.
But you had like Lee Baxter first?
Yes.
Thomas Dedin?
Yes.
What have you learned from those two guys?
Starting with Lee, I learned a lot from Lee. Lee's he's a type of goalkeeper coach that I like. He emphasizes on the stuff that I like. He's someone that you can talk to very easily. And we saw eye to eye. Same with Tuda. He's played the position. He understands everything that the goalkeeper is going through at times, and I guess he respected the sense that I was older and what things worked for me and what didn't. And from both of them, I've learned a lot, and I've taken the good from both of them, and hopefully I could continue it and add some more to it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How does it feel for you that we now have another new goalkeeper? Budimir is new, and well, we haven't seen him play much yet, but how does it feel for you that you have Oscar that you've worked with before, and now we have a new team member? How does it feel?
It's good. You know, when there's different, as a coach,
yeah,
and as a goalkeeper coach, when there's different, when there's more choices, it's good. You know, obviously it's not maybe the best for the players, but to have the luxury of having a variety of choices, it's good. And you know, I've only seen Budimir on video and from what people say, you know, it's only good, you know. And I think he'll be a nice little, what can I call it, a nice touch to the team. And hopefully he can get healthy soon and we can see him in action.
I mean, they both seem very, very ambitious.
They do. Oscar is obviously young. He's a big talent, and Budimir, he's a bit older. He knows exactly what he wants, and you know, I've only seen him through his injury, how he's fighting through it, and how much he's pushing, and it rolls on. When he pushes hard, Oscar wants to push hard too. So it's gonna be nice this year.
I saw it in the Sportlib clip with him when he was like, I'm like a big teddy bear outside the pitch, but on the pitch I want to strangle everyone.
That's good.
Yeah.
that's the exact mentality that I want them to have. I want Oscar to have that. I want this young keeper, Samuel. I want him to have this mentality that we are friends, but when we come on the pitch, we're fighting for position here. This is no holds bar.
Can we stop with Samuel? He made like 45 minutes against Frey.
Yes.
And people like talking like the next big goalkeeper in Swedish football.
He is. I don't want to jinx him.
Oh.
He's very young, very, very talented. He has a lot of things going for himself. He's a very big potential. He has, you know, just at his height, he's over 2 meters. He's good with his feet, and he's reading the game well. And yeah, if he just has to continue, put his head down, and work hard, and the whole soccer world's in front of him.
Will he start like on the same level as Oscar and Budimir when the season starts, or do you have a plan for him too?
We do have a plan. This is something that it's, you know, talked with the youth goalkeeper coaches and with Rickard and with the whole kind of staff around him. So, as of right now, he's with the group. He's training. What happens then? We don't know, but he's on a good road, definitely.
For our listeners that might not know exactly, we're talking about Samuel Brolin. And how old is Samuel exactly?
He is born 2001.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
That's
scary.
That's insane.
Yes. So he's turning 17 this year, if my math's correct.
And yes.
Oh my God, I feel so old right now.
Don't tell me about it when I see these kids in front of me and... Yes.
Oh, but that's fantastic. Well, it seems also like, because Oscar's like, what, 21, 22?
He's so old now.
Yeah, but also, and then we have Budimir, so we kind of have like...
We have a great mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, don't forget me.
Oh, obviously, but you're the star, so I'm not going to forget you. And while we're on the subject, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but let's talk about the Djurgården derby.
Yes.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were obviously there. I couldn't stop crying.
Me too.
Yes. It was a fantastic game. And how did it feel for you to be out there? And that's not, well, it's not as big as Friends Arena, but it was packed, if I can remember correctly.
It was
sold out. And, well, our stands were... If I can remember it correctly, it was like insane.
Yes.
We were all chanting your name. How did it feel? Tell us about
it. How did it feel before the game or after the game or during the game?
Yeah, it's like before the game, during the game, after the game. Please do tell us. I think our listeners would love to know.
To be honest, now that I'm getting older, the nerves that I had when I was younger, I don't have them as much when I come into the games. I'm nervous, don't get me wrong, but I don't have the same... I don't think my nerves affect the way I play. But this game was, I felt like I was, this is my first game after, like I was 15 again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thoughts going through my mind because of the whole match fixing and so forth. And I didn't want a bad goal to go in and then talk right away about what's happening with Stam and with this match fixing, and I didn't want this to be connected at whatsoever. And so those thoughts were going a lot through my mind. So I was very, extremely nervous. I don't know if I showed it during the game and stuff or before the game, but yeah, there was a lot of thoughts going through my head. So very, very nervous during before the game. As the game got along, that was I got into flow of things. It was fine. It was just rolling around. And then when, again, during the game when these saves are happening or towards the end, again, I'm in a role there where I'm like so focused where it's not hitting me then. And then when that final whistle, it was just like a sign of relief right off my back. You know, like you said, the fans were singing. I could finally hear them because during the game, I don't really hear them much what's going on. So I could finally hear them. The team jumped on me like we won the Champions League, and it was an unbelievable feeling. And yeah, it's hard to describe it. Like the goosebumps that I got, and yeah, I was shaking from just being so happy. So yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. I remember that game and everything that had happened right before, and it was, I think it was like one of my most powerful like memories from Aequo games ever. And then I was on the stands. I wasn't playing it. I wasn't you. I wasn't Oscar. I wasn't like Rickard. I was a nobody. I was one with 5,000 other Aequo.
I think that game as AIK fan or as the AIK family, I think everybody was part of that game. I think everybody felt that they were kind of like in the pitch, kind of feeling the same feeling that I was feeling. I think you felt it, and you felt it, and everyone felt it. Like the joy that we as a team can overcome these obstacles that, you know, sometimes hit us in sports. So it's
like the Torino game.
Yes, like the Torino game. That's another one.
Looking at that, what happened before the match, mm-hmm. How do you look on it today? Or like, do you try to forget and like remember the good stuff in football, or like, does it still haunt you?
No, I've, not that I'd say I've forgotten it, but I've kind of put it in the back. And I don't think too much about it no more. You know, it only hits me when you read about it again, or if I get called in to the police or so forth, or an interview like this or something. But no, I try not to think about it too much.
Is the police still looking into this matter today, or
they are? Yeah, the last I spoke to them was end of the year, and they told me it's an ongoing case, and
they seem to be taking it really seriously.
It is. It's a very serious matter.
Well, yeah, you know? Obviously. And,
it's upsetting to know that other things are influenced when you work so hard for as an individual and as a team for one goal. And something like this, it kind of puts you in perspective, kind of thinking that, am I wasting my time? Are the fans coming here for nothing kind of thing? Is everything just fake? So, yeah, it's a big deal.
I don't know if anyone's told you, but I remember this particular day very well because I was on my way to the central station. I was going to take a train down to Gothenburg.
Sorry, I ruined it for you.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that when we started getting more information that a player was offered money and so on and so forth, and I was talking to friends, mm-hmm. Everyone kept saying the same thing. The only person that could have, like, that we can think of that would have done this to turn it down and went to the police, it was you.
Really?
Yes. And like, and I remember, like, we're both very active on Twitter, Rasmus and I, and like the discussion was very one line. Like, everyone was like, it has to be Kenny. And when we were obviously, and we still are, extremely proud of you.
Thank you.
It's like, it's such a joy to have you on our team and organization, because like, it takes a lot of courage to do what you did. And I know that, well, the Aequo family is the only one told you, because you got a prize at the football gala.
I did. That was very nice.
Yeah, how did that feel, that to get the acknowledgement from the entire like soccer family of Sweden?
It's exactly what you said, just that the whole soccer community, the Swedish one, can acknowledge that someone stood out and was brave. And, you know, for me, it was, I don't want to sound like, it's a normal thing. I think anyone would have done it, but apparently people don't. Mm. But I'm glad that they backed me up. They stood on my shoulders or on my side. And I just hope from all this that I've opened the door for other kids or other players that can feel, hopefully they can feel comfortable to say if this were ever to happen to them or something at this extent.
Yeah, hopefully this like open a door to other clubs, because you know, like I told us, we're used to these crisis situations. And did you feel that you Oiko gave you all the support you needed? Oh, and still do?
100%.
Yeah,
I mean, they backed me up 100%. And I think in general, you know, I don't know, you know, the past of AIK, but all the years that I've been here, all these big crises, this one and probably Ivan Tunina, I was involved in both of them, and both of them, I think they've taken extreme measures and how they dealt with it. You know, these are situations that don't come often, and they've to deal with it in the manner that they did. I think they unbelievable with the Ivan and now with the match fixing. I think they've done everything that should be done and more.
Hmm. Do you want to take a short break, Kenny?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I was getting cool. A little emotional.
Okay, sorry. No, I was sorry. Just asking. We were told by our producer to ask you if you want breaks.
No, I'm good.
Great. Well, next part is why don't we talk a bit about your career?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've also said and acknowledged the fact that you're primarily a coach now.
Yes.
How does it feel that you've kind of put the shoes on the shelf and like?
Technically, the shoes are not.
Let's be clear on that. Yeah, let's be clear.
Like for tomorrow, I'm going to be training.
Yes.
So, but I think it's good the way it's happening. It's slowly. It's not
like
just hitting
transition.
Exactly, the transition's it's perfect. You know, it's not like I'm hitting a wall and that's it. I'm done. This is the most ideal I can ask for. You know, I'm still involved in training when needed, and or I guess I'm the coach, I get to decide, but no, but when needed. And at the same time, I'm doing something that I feel good at. I feel comfortable. I feel that I have a lot to give to the goalkeeper. So I haven't retired officially yet. So it's good.
Maybe you do Lee Baxter against Öster, was it 2010? 3-1 in the Swedish Cup.
Exactly. When
man of the match.
Was Ivan here yet?
I don't think so.
No,
he came sooner.
Yeah, Tommy couldn't play. He had some concussions.
Yeah.
I was injured. And I think, who else was here then? Nicholas Berg?
Yeah.
He was injured. So yeah, Lee had to
step up.
And did well.
Yeah.
But Lee was a little bit different because he didn't really train with us as much. I'm still training with the boys and stuff like that when needed. And so officially, I'm not retired, but I'm slowly making the steps to the transition.
When did you like make that decision to like slowly?
It was brought up between when me and Rickard started talking, saying, okay, you're slowly getting to a stage in your life. What are your thoughts? What would you like? And then we took it from there. And that was probably like halfway during the season. It was a kind of ongoing progress. And then Bjorn also was involved in the conversation, and then it worked out the way it did.
Hmm. How much, sorry.
It's fine, go on.
But to this role in this, he's like... He's taken Jurilius' role a bit, and also a bit with you guys in goalkeeper.
Yes. Or Tude is kind of stepped back a little bit from the goalkeeping coach aspect wise. He, if you want to call him an assistant goalkeeper coach, he's right now helping Budimir with his recovery. Mm-hmm. But he's taken more of a administration in helping Jurilius, because Jurilius apparently has a lot to do.
Yeah.
And so a lot falls on his shoulder. So Tude is more going towards the administration role. So yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to ask you a very fun question.
Okay.
If you look back from when you started out as an elite player and right up to this moment, the three best moments of your career, and you don't have to mention three things like that happened during your time here at Aikoa, but like the general span of your career, your three best moments.
Whoa, put me on the spot. Why don't you?
I told you it was a fun question.
Oh, I've been hit in the head with the ball a couple of times. My memory's not that good, honestly. I don't have any other memories than AIK, to be honest.
I don't know if you remember this, but I had like an emotional, nostalgic session at YouTube like a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And came into 2005 when AIK was in Superettan. And we're facing Örebro, I think.
Okay.
And like 5-1 or something. And then the plane goes, scoring on a game, and you play in Boden, I think, then.
Yeah.
And it's, it says, own goal, Kenis Demetopoulos. I can show it to you later, but I was like, what?
What?
But, let's not talk about that, but I was like...
It sounds like maybe you kicked out a ball and it, like, the other... I have no idea.
No,
Wait, we'll have to
look. I scored on my own net?
Yeah, it said so in the goal scorer.
That could be brought up to match fixing now.
Oh.
No.
All right.
I can't remember that one. I thought you were going to bring up when I played for Boden and we played against AIK.
5-1.
And we won 5-1.
Oof, no.
Yeah, not that. You do?
All right, just repeat the question.
So the question is, Stan, please do tell us when you played for the Canada national team down in South Africa, America?
No, South America.
South America, yes. Please do tell.
It's a very, when you play in these countries down south, they are very aggressive, very, so they're very vocal, they're very... Yeah, physical. So when we went to go play, I think it was Honduras.
Mm.
Yeah, and so we go, it's a qualifier before the game. It's packed. It's 40,000 screaming at the lung. We're talking like 2-3 hours before the game. It's a national holiday. They've made it. It's, yeah. And we're coming. I just remember going into the stadium and we're getting, as we're going through the tunnel, it's just a big pile of piss coming our way. They have bags of piss that they've already, they're loaded, and as we're going through that tunnel, we're just getting fed piss after piss.
And they were allowed into the stadium with bags of urine.
You wouldn't think, what, bags not illegal? but yeah, they know how to use their fluids well.
Jesus. Yeah, it was raining down piss.
It's raining down piss. And yeah.
Did you play in Aiko when Jere Bengtsson was
no.
for trial?
No.
I don't know. Okay.
No.
Because he was from Honduras.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
playing for a World Cup spot, I think.
I played against him.
Ah, all right. All right. Was he any good? Because he was like a cult player who never played for Aiko.
I know. And I think the game that we lost to go to the, not to the World Cup, but to go to the final stage, he scored 2 goals.
All right.
I didn't play, thank God.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty nasty, but good memory.
Yeah, great memory. Thanks so much.
It was Stefan Mellebor who filled
out that memory.
And if we're only talking Aiko memories.
Yeah.
Three very fun memories from that time.
Well, obviously the Ugorda game right now.
Yeah.
The final whistle, obviously. That was the fun part. Coming back from Russia.
Oh yeah, Moscow.
Yeah, Moscow. That was coming to the airport, and well, it's not even just when we went to the fans after the game, and again there was more tears there. There was a lot of tears in this team. It's crazy. There's a lot of crying going on here. And another good memory.
You've been here long, man.
I've been here long. I don't know. I think that whole run that we did when we went through to get to the group stage there, that was a great run. And I think after like every, I don't know, we started, I think was it Lech Poznan that we started first?
That
was,
yeah, that's the same
was
year.
Was it like Hafnarfjörður started off, we're good, but then the Lech Poznan game was magical. At Rosuna, it was like 10,000 people, I think, but sounded like 30.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was crazy.
like these are the kind of memories that stuck in my head. Yeah. That kind of whole run in the rush. You know, yeah, after that one, that was a good one.
And well, you've obviously been here for a long time, and if you look back, like at the years you've been at AIK, how do you look at the development the club has been through? Because obviously it's like 8, 9, 10 years you've been here now. Mm-hmm. It's not the same club. We've had different coaches, and like we've moved from Råsunda to Friends Arena. How do you look at that development? Do you think it's a positive one, or like what can you tell us about that?
I think it's positive. Definitely, I think it's positive. I think the way the club is run now, I can only talk this year from a staff member.
Yeah.
You know, the club is with Rickard run. Yeah, everything is on the clock here. Everything is very well organized. This whole time I've known Bjorn, and as a general manager, I don't want to say he's grown into those shoes as a general manager, but he seems like he knows exactly what he's doing, who he's buying and who he's selling, and he's made a lot of money for the club, and he's done an excellent job. But in general, the overall standard of the club, I think it's always going every year more and more and more. I don't know how you guys see it, but as a player's perspective, I think it's just positive.
Yeah. So it's much more professional in all levels.
Exactly.
I was trying to make I don't know how to say it, but you go through your years here since 2010. It's been like, I don't know how many managers, and like the club has been run in many ways, but you had Bjorn as coach.
I did. I did him at a short period of time.
How was he?
he had the team for a couple games, and you know, what can he do then? But as a role, as what he has right now as a general manager, as running the whole team, he's good. He's a very clever man, and he knows exactly what he does. And implementing the youth, how they've gotten such talent.
Yeah.
You know, when I got here 2010, they had a lot of talent, but they never pushed for it. They never did anything like that. Where the last couple of years, they have these talents and they're selling them for a lot of money, and you know, they're good. They're very good players.
Yeah, and they also get to train with the first team, like the youth academy trains.
Exactly.
I that is one thing that I'm personally very proud of, that these kids get to train with the first team, and it's really smart. It's a really smart thing to do, and I know that you've been doing that for several years now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they've implemented this exactly like you said, like getting the kids here, kids or the younger players, on a regular basis to get more familiar and playing with the system that we do now, the 3-5-2 and stuff like that. So, it's smart.
I remember 2010 when Bangura came, Mohammed, and he was like talking about the youth team, and Victor Lundberg was like up and running a bit.
Yep.
And it was like, I can't believe he's not playing anymore, more than he does.
Yeah.
Because he was like all the youth, and it was like all the energy and all the attitude that you want from an Arco
player. Exactly, exactly.
But then we had other players. So I don't want to get to too many names, but but he was like, and then that's a really big step
in the right direction. Yeah, exactly. Because if Victor was coming through the group now, I bet you he'd have a 10 times better chance of playing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but now it's in Häcken.
That's a different talk.
Exactly. But was it a tough decision for you to like stay in AIK? Was that something that you wanted? Was it important for you to stay in the organization
throughout my career here?
Or like now, because your contract.
Not at all.
No.
No, I don't think twice about that one. No, not at all. That was what I wanted.
Yeah.
100%, and I couldn't be happier. Honestly, on a personal, I love it here completely. It helps out that my wife loves Stockholm.
Yeah.
My kids, you know, they're born here, they're raised here. They love it. So obviously it would be different if they had a hard time here and so forth, but We absolutely love it. We love the city. We love the club. I love everything about the club. I love everything. I love my job, you know, and no, there's never, ever been a thought of me ever leaving. You know, obviously during my career here, I never played as much as I wanted to play. But again, I don't know, I have that mindset that I've always thought of myself as a number one, and I've always been pushing to be number one. Even though if I wasn't, it was just that I want to prove people wrong, and I just want to work hard, so I've never thought of leaving, no.
And we also have a very fun, and here's the fun question number two.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
the first one was very fun.
This one is going to be a lot more fun.
Okay.
We have 10 questions. I'm going to ask you one, and okay, you have to answer really quick.
Oh my gosh.
And then Rasmus is going to ask you the second one, and we have 10 of those. Are you excited?
Very. Can't wait.
Okay, so who's the best player you've played with?
See, that's not fair. That's not fair. Why? Because players come in different positions, so it's different. I can't say, for example, Isak, because it's not fair to a defender like Nisse. They're two great players, but two different positions. So how do you want me to answer that one?
He's the best.
You can just ask us who our favorite players are.
Ooh, whoa. No. That's not a leak.
Well, my favorite player has always been Andreas Andersson. He used to play in AIK.
And
he was really big, and he was like the star of the team when I started going to Norra Stoa when I was 10. So yeah, and also like he was
him.
Yes, of course I did. Obviously, but yeah.
All right, let's take this one and stand it. Who's okay, the funniest teammate you ever had?
The funniest.
Yeah.
Ooh. Do I have a time on this one? Okay, you know what? Believe it or not, I'd say Ivan.
Ivan.
He was naturally funny. Mm. He didn't want to be funny, but maybe because his English was the way it was and the way he answered, he was a very funny person. Mm. Very funny, but naturally funny.
Okay, so if you had to choose, what player or leader would you want to be stuck with in an elevator for 1 hour?
Right now?
Well, yeah, like looking back at, like, yeah, well, at the team from last year or this year.
Which player?
Yeah.
Or leader?
Yeah. And you'd have to be stuck in an elevator for at least 1 hour.
Nisse.
That's a good one.
Mm. Yeah, he likes to talk. He's good.
Yeah, all right. Maybe on the same subject then. Who's the most underestimated player you play with?
Underestimated? Other than myself?
Yes.
Good answer.
Victor. Victor Lundberg. Hmm. Yeah. Big time.
What's, like, looking at the away games that AIK used to play, outside of Stockholm, so we're not talking derby games here, what is the game that you've always looked forward to the most? Like, your favorite away game?
My favorite away game?
Yeah.
Gothenburg. Yeah.
It's
nice to win those games.
What's the worst away game?
Worst? Häcken.
Häcken.
I think...
At the numbers, well.
Yeah. Yeah, with that track around.
Oh, Jesus.
It just didn't feel...
But Häcken this fall was amazing.
They were good.
Mm. Yeah. I would answer Malmö, actually, on that question. We haven't won in Malmö for like...
20 years or something.
Yeah.
Is like, it that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Exactly. 96.
Ooh, Jesus.
There's Stefan again.
Okay, so I might know the answer to this question. What's the most memorable game you have played or watched from the bench?
You know that one.
Yes, Hugh Gordon.
Yeah, Hugh Gordon. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to hear this, but who's the best opponent you played against? Player.
Player-wise?
Yeah.
Whew. Again, that's not in AIK though. That's international when I played.
Yeah.
Gary Bengtsson.
Raul.
Ooh.
Yeah, against Spain.
Jesus.
Oh.
And now, what's your favorite AIK song that we sing from the stands? If you are able to like hear them, tell them apart.
The opening one. You know that one?
Our anthem?
Yeah, your anthem or our anthem. Yeah. That is, it's a nice little rhythm and I like that one.
I love the ending of the second verse when everyone just yells.
characters. Yeah.
I like the whole thing, but okay.
You know, Martin wants to change that.
Huh?
Martin McLean, our colleague here, he wants to change.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
No idea.
No.
Like I'm seriously going to tattoo parts of that song into my body. No, I already have this. So he cannot go and change that. That would be awful.
But he has no say in it. So
no,
say
yeah, cool. thank God.
Yeah.
And our last question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugliest shirts in Allsvenskan.
Ooh, ugliest. Ugly shirts. Was it RFC?
Bananas in pajamas. Huh? I started to sing Bananas in Pajamas. Yeah, that's Djurgården.
You just answer it for me.
All right.
That's Jack.
I hate them.
But you have you seen that show? It's a kids show from the 90s called Bananas in Pajamas. They're like two bananas, I'm born 1988. And they used to show Bananas in Pajamas. I think it's a British TV show.
Okay.
You had literally two bananas living together in a home. And they obviously spend their days dressed in pajamas. And these pajamas look exactly like Djurgården's jersey.
So then I go, I'll answer that for you, Djurgården.
What do you think of the jersey we played in Saturday?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I love it.
Have you seen the original pictures from 1901?
I did.
It's a fantastic, yeah, like
a mirror. Yeah, it was pretty cool when I saw it too. It's a nice. I like the way they come. They think of these things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it.
We're really good at remembering our history. Have you ever celebrated February 15th at Hovet? That's Aiko's birthday, and every year.
Yes, we were on the ice a couple times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's fun because as supporters, we have our entire day planned out. In the morning or before lunch, you go to Wiener Caféet on Biblioteksgatan, mm-hmm, which is where AIK was founded.
Yes.
And you have a special princess cake, but it's black, and you have the shield on top of it. And then you go to Isidor Behrens' grave to lay down flowers.
You do?
Yes.
Wow.
And then in the evening, you go to Hovet to see AIK play the birthday ice hockey game, mm-hmm, and we do that every year. I think I don't even remember us not doing that.
It's pretty cool.
And we lose at hockey.
Not obviously.
No, stop.
We all love them.
Yeah, of course.
They're struggling.
Yeah, we have to look through our papers because we've been really bad at following the script.
That's our New Year's revolution. resolution.
As I guess supporters, I've never thought about how big a thing it is to change from Adidas to Nike. How people have made it to a big kind of big deal.
Some people love it, and I'm one of them.
It's interesting that some people talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big change.
Yeah, for people who wear sneakers, Adidas sneakers, have to go to Air Max or whatever they're called. have to change the whole closet now.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
I've changed his hat to Nike.
Yeah, but actually, it's very fun because we've had Adidas for such a long time.
Yeah.
I barely remember us playing in Puma, which we did in the middle of '90s. And ever since then, we've played Adidas, and we've had Oabru on the shirts.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and also I sincerely hope that our jerseys will look like AS Roma's jerseys. Yeah, I'm really strange. I love soccer generally, so I know how other teams' jerseys look like. AS Roma, they have Nike, obviously,
mm-hmm,
and their shirt is amazingly beautiful. Aside from the fact that it's red, because that's Roma's colors, but I'm so hoping that we'll get something similar, but all black.
So I'm guessing our jerseys haven't been released.
No.
See, you guys, if you were smart, you would have asked me, because I didn't know that. Now can I spill the beans?
I have seen it.
So, oh,
yeah. Because he works with the
women's team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the.
And
you're not going to be disappointed.
Thank you so much.
You won't be, definitely.
No, they've done a great job.
They've done a great job, Nike. Super.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to seeing the Aiko shop by Friends Arena. They closed it on New Year's Eve, and they're totally remodeling it because it was branded by Adidas. Mm-hmm. So they've they've closed it. I think it's been closed for almost 2 months. Like, yeah, 1 month now. And it's going to be Nike branded all the way.
Yeah, of course.
So it's going to be fun to see that.
Well, I think when it comes to this stuff, Nike has done a great job so far. Yeah. You know, they've done a great job.
Million dollar question then.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Nike and mm-hmm. Nike. Should we set this one for all?
Ooh.
Nike.
I think Nike.
Yeah, Nike is Swedish.
Is it?
Yeah, like, yeah, Swedish people go around saying Nike.
But
Nike,
I heard the Swedish, like, press chairman or something.
Yeah.
He said Nike.
Yeah, it's Nike.
I think it is Nike. Yeah.
All right. Jesus. I have to change my habits.
It's not that big of a deal.
All right. I think we should wrap things up.
Yeah. Do you have something to add? Like, maybe do you want to say something to our listeners, to the IQ supporters?
I just want to say thank you, honestly, from the bottom of my heart for supporting me from day one with this whole scenario and backing me up and getting me through these tough times, and I'm here to stay.
Thank you so much. Can you stop? What?
What?
Can we stop?
Oh, I'm so
stop.
Bad.
Stop
I'm going to do that again. Thank you so much, Kenny.
Last question, though. Will we win gold this year?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's the goal. We work hard for the best. I don't want to say big words and, you know, you end up with empty hands. So that is the goal. We work hard to win the gold every year. That's AIK. If you're not working to win the gold, you're not doing anything. So... That's the goal.
That's cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ska jag avsluta?
Ja.
Ja, men vi som är i programmet, det är du och jag, Nathalie Bergström och Rasmus Forsberg. Jimmy Rudén ute i vad heter det?
I studion.
Situationsrummet, höll jag på att säga.
Och så har vi ju även August Spångberg samt Martin Wiklin.
Som är i Köpenhamn av alla ställen.
Ja, vi tycker så. Men det hade varit värre om han var i Malmö faktiskt.
Mm.
Usch.
Och Joakim Fröberg.
Och Joakim Fröberg som sitter i sin hundgård.
Ja.
Och det är vi... Tack så hemskt mycket för att ni lyssnade. Vi är tillbaka nästa vecka.
Oh, that was funny, my name.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Stop.
I'm so sorry for that blackout.
Not at all. No, I promise you. I spelled my name wrong now. I've been here so long. People are like, they've butchered my name.
There's a ship lies rigged and ready in the harbor. Tomorrow for old England, she sails. Far away from your land of endless sunshine to my land full of rainy skies and gales. And I shall be aboard that ship tomorrow, though my heart is full of tears at this farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. I heard there's a wicked war a-blazing, and the taste of war I know so very well. Even now I see the foreign flag a-raising, their guns on fire as we sail into hell. I have no fear of death, it brings no sorrow, but how bitter will be this last farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. Though death and darkness gather all about me, and my ship be torn apart upon the sea, I shall smell again the fragrance of these islands in the heaving waves that brought me once to thee, and dance. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.